this information is something that you should not be doing in your classrooms. Give them blood to play that, then inshallah they will be able to consume what was given to them and hopefully enact and bring into their lives what was given to them. I have the task of going through a few slides with you regarding the educational techniques of the Quran, and after that inshallah educational techniques from the Hadith. Generally, when we talk of methodology and techniques that could be used to disseminate and impart knowledge, then very, very seldom would we look for the source in the Quran and the Hadith. But we will look for source of how to give and how to disseminate the knowledge. We will look for it everywhere else, and we will find it, try to find it anywhere else. And the last place we will go is the Quran and the Hadith. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention different ayat of the Quran and Kareem, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how knowledge can be imparted. And then on the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a practical example of how to impart knowledge, how to teach, how to give over and share that which was given to you. So in this session, hopefully we stick to time. It is a very long presentation, but we will try very quickly, because we don't want to waste too much of time. We'll try very quickly to go through some of these techniques that are mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith, with that hope that we ourselves can try to derive benefit and see how we can implement this into our classrooms. But must we remember that there are different techniques that will be shown, and we will go through different techniques. Knowing our students, knowing the level of our students, the type of classroom environment that we are in, not every one of these techniques may work. They are from Quran and they are from Hadith, but from time to time we need to change. We need to change. We cannot keep to one routine and use one technique all the time. From time to time we need to change so that monotony does not creep in. It shouldn't be such, you know, sometimes students, they know their teachers and they are very good improvisers. Learners are very good improvisers. From personal experience I can tell you, when I was teaching at the school, I had a particular style of teaching, and the students in, so to say, what we would call a just to use the English word, a concert, which we refer to as a jalsa, and the students carried out a play, and in that play, they impersonated every teacher. And exactly how the teacher behaves in the class, that is what they did. Entire class took a turn, one student did this teacher, one student, and the student that did myself, made me laugh, I fell to the ground laughing. But this is how what we do into the classroom. It becomes routine, it becomes monotony, and then, you know, the students also feel that this is his system and he just carry on with that. So we need to change from time to time, make it interesting, make learning fun, and make learning interesting in the classroom. The police graduates from various something.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Just to say to you that whilst Maulana is going through these techniques, these are all techniques that we can utilize in our classroom. What has been derived from the Quran, and Maulana take it from the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And each one is unique in its own way. So I know people are going to be writing down, but more than writing down, try to listen and visualize yourself which subject that technique applied to. So if I bring the storytelling, whatever you carry, be free, just apply that. I want you to apply it each time. So don't just listen to it, but put its application and say, you know, I think this will work in this subject, and that will work in that subject. In that way, you will derive more benefit. But you just listen to the technique, it's just going to say, well, I've listened to another 20 techniques, so what does it mean to me? But if you say, I'm going to listen to the first one, for example, the first one is the storytelling. Can I apply it right to? Which age group can I apply to? And how does it apply to me? So I want you to reflect. One other thing to talk about, reflect. As a teacher, as a mu'allim, and a mu'allima, please reflect on it. Don't just listen. Please, I want you to reflect. So please be reflective. And then in the end, you say, look, fine, I can try out of the 23 techniques. I think I'm doing 3. I can try another 15, but I can't get all of them. Try. Sure.
So the first technique that we try in the Quran is the technique of storytelling. And we know that throughout the Quran there are many incidents, especially in the middle portion of the Quran, where Allah speaks about all the incidents of the nations of the past, and all the stories are mentioned in the Quran. A good story arrests the attention and connects the impart of ilm with his students. And students are like that. If it is possible in any lesson, and if you can bring a story to introduce that lesson, that will automatically draw the attention of those learners. Automatically, because they enjoy listening, they're a woman, they enjoy listening to stories. The more you tell them stories, the more enjoyable they will be. I don't know how it is in Australia or in South Africa, when we speak to the kind of stories, one I give a very good talk. But if you don't really give them some aside, then today you wasted our time. So, storytelling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a storytelling technique in the Quran to set firm the heart of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the heart of his followers upon the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, for example, the incident of Nuh ala nabiyyina wa salatu wa taslim, what was the idea in making mention of that incident? Speaking of Nuh alayhi wa sallam, Allah has been giving the entire story. In fact, Allah has revealed the entire story regarding the incident of Nuh ala nabiyyina wa salatu wa taslim. Different places in the Quran that are mentioned along it. What was it all about? For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to impart that incident to the followers that this is not the way that you should take. So in essence, a story is being told, but a lesson is also being given. A story is being told, but a lesson is also being given. That Nuh alayhi salam did this, and the people of Nuh alayhi salam did that. If you are going to follow suit, then the result that they suffered is the same result that you will suffer. So the storytelling technique is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. Yet all that we relate to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the tidings of the messengers who preceded you is but to set firm your own heart in this comes in Surah Hud. The next technique that could be used is the technique of relating parables. As many Quranic passages show, the gracious Quran uses parables as a method of education. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so such are the parables we set forth for the benefit of people, yet none comprehend them but the people of knowledge. For example, Mazalul ladina takhadu, kya hai wa ayat, what is it ayat? In last book of 20th juice.
Mazalul ladina takhadu min duni Allahi awliya.
Allah subhanahu gives a beautiful example in that parable that those people they choose any person besides the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as an ayatul friend, then Allah gives the example of a spider. Of a spider. But Allah uses these kind of examples in the Quran al-Kareem just for us, these kind of parables in the Quran al-Kareem, so that we can understand and easily understand the message that Allah has given. So in our classroom, when we are teaching a lesson, for example, we are teaching a lesson in fiqh, whatever the topic may be, we can use it, we can find a parable. We're talking about salah, for example. Find a parable that can educate our learners regarding the importance of salah. Regarding the importance of salah, and like that in any other subject. This technique of relating parables can be used in any subject across the board. Across the board, we can use this example, this technique in teaching and disseminating knowledge to our learners. Inspiring and disheartening, which is tarheeb and tarheeb, encouragement. Using encouragement. We are teaching the importance of we teaching Hajj, for example. MashaAllah, we went into one of the classrooms and we saw the entire 5 days of Hajj that has been pinned down, and we've just learned that it was practically demonstrated and practically done here at Masjid Ibrahim, also with the learners, alhamdulillah. So, for example, we're teaching about Hajj, tarheeb about the importance of Hajj, tarheeb about what is not the good and what is not right to do as far as Hajj is concerned. If a person has the means to perform Hajj and a person doesn't perform Hajj, then what did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention regarding that? If a person performs the Hajj, what is the reward of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So encouraging our learners all the time. And together with giving some kind of tarheeb, some kind of warning, so to say that if it is not done in that way, what we are learning here, it has to be done this particular way. If it is not done the way the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, then obviously these will be the consequences, and that will be the circumstances that we will have to face. Instead of sticking to a single technique of instruction, the Quran diversifies its educational approaches. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the surah, this ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, which we can very quickly read through and give clarity to the Prophet to those who believe and do righteous deeds, that for them there are gardens of paradise awaiting in the year after, beneath which rivers flow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is giving the tarheeb in this verse of the Quran al-Kareem. Those that do good, those who bring iman, those that do make amal salihah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the gardens of Jannah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. So the indication Allah ta'ala is even do this and I will reward you with that. And on the side of the tarheeb, if you go contrary to what you need to do, then you will suffer the consequences as far as that is concerned. So thus, tarheeb and tarheeb is very, very important when giving our lesson. So this is another technique that could be used in teaching.
I just want to, as requested, for those who are not aware, inshallah, all of these will be made available also on the website, downloadable, inshallah. So Haji Ismail has requested those who may be taking notes, perhaps on what Maulana is saying, then of course that's fine, inshallah, but otherwise this will be made available, inshallah.
To discourage a certain practice in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for whoever does wrong, we shall punish him, then he shall be returned to his Lord in the year after, and he shall punish him with a horrific punishment. So we can see the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given as far as the tarheeb is concerned, Jannah, as far as punishment is concerned, if a person does wrong. There is no problem in using these kind of techniques in our classroom. With that, I need to add, in my teaching, the most important thing is whatever technique I utilize in teaching, is what is my intention behind it. What is my intention? And possibly we need to make this known to our learners. If you're going to speak to them, for example, discouragement, and we'd like the Quran speaks about punishment, and we're going to tell them about punishment, then we need to also add and say to them that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about punishment, it is not to make us scared. It is not entirely to make us scared. But rather we should take it as a motivation. We should take it and understand it as a motivation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is motivating us to stay away from something which does not please Him. Instead of using that fear factor, stay away from creating a fear factor, but rather create a motivational factor to say that these kind of warnings are more to motivate us rather than to scare us. Sometimes the Quran blends encouragement and discouragement in the same text. Then as to those who believe in Allah and do righteous deeds, He shall render them their reward in full and please them even more from His bounty. But as for those who become disdainful of His worship and grow arrogant, He shall torment them with the most painful torment. And they shall not find for themselves apart from all either patron or supporter. Let us bring both together. What we spoke about, giving tarheeb, we can bring both together in one sentence, we can in one breath, we can do both of giving tarheeb and tarheeb. Edifying by good examples. If educators wish the instruction to have value, they must practice what they preach according to the Quran. Educators whose deeds do not match their words commit an act most grateful from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Allah ta'ala addresses this issue in the Quran al-Kareem itself. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا. So we need to become, as Mu'arash Shaykh Shamir we mentioned of in the very beginning, that we need to become role models to our learners. What? There is a very nice saying in English, the children listen with their eyes. Which doesn't make sense to us, but it's a fact. Children listen with their eyes. If they see something being done, that is what they will carry out and that is what they will do. So that is why we need to be good examples in the classroom. And I'm going to come back to what we mentioned about yesterday, and possibly this will be stressed upon a little bit more for myself firstly, and for all of us, the aspect of being timeous in the classroom. The very first thing I mentioned of yesterday in my presentation was come early to class. Again, I'm going to stress upon it. It is so important to us. It seems as if though this Sheikh or Maulana comes from South Africa to bark at us about one aspect, I'm not fault finding, But I'm just saying this so that we get the encouragement from this fact that if we are early in the classroom, we are timeless in the classroom, we spend the entire duration that we have with those children taking it as amanat, looking after the time as amanat, those children as amanat, that teaching as amanat, then that will rub off onto our learners. It will rub off onto our learners because our learners take inspiration from us. We as learners, sometimes parents tell us that, Mulana, we don't know what is it with you, that what you told them, they act upon it. We tell them the same thing and they become rebellious to us. We tell them exactly the same thing but they become rebellious. But now you said it to them, now they are changing themselves, they are doing what you told them. So that is the inspiration that we have on our learners. So if we love the example, then it will rub on our learners. Oh, you who believe, why do you say what you do not sow? Is it greatly abhorrent in the sight of Allah Ta'ala that you say what you do not do? What we mentioned earlier, Surah As-Saff, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'aluna, that O people of Iman, why are you saying that which you do not do? It is very easy to impart something and encourage someone to do something if you yourself are doing it. Your words will have 5 to 10% of the act, of the effect. But your action, which is in collaboration of your words, will play the other 90% of the effect. So you can say something to somebody, it will only take effect 10%. But do that what you are saying, and let that person see that you are doing it. I am saying it, and I am doing it also. Then you will see 90% of that, the 100% of that will take effect on that person. So it is not only by saying things to people, our children, we are teaching them, we are telling them about things, we are telling them about the importance of ibadah, we are telling them about the importance of being and adhering to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ourselves need to practically demonstrate them. This is not something the teaching methods made use in the Quran. Highlighting them is not meant to and should not detract from the work of other educational techniques that's present in the Quran, including education through dialogue, by good admonition, or exhortation by observation. There can be no lack of appreciation for their merits. So there are many other techniques. These are a few. There are many other techniques that could be utilized. That's why the Quran Kareem is concerned. We need to search for it in the Quran, find it in the Quran, take it out of the Quran and see how we can practice upon it and how we can use it. The Quran makes use of diverse educational techniques within the framework of a precise systematic educational approach that aims to produce an integrated and balanced human being. After all, this is what we need to become. We cannot become so extreme on one side that we are blinkered in our thought processes, and on the other side we become so extreme that we remove the blinkers and we become liberal to such an extent that we forget the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Also, in our liberal nature, we even forget what the teachings of the Quran and the Hadith and the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. The Quran is such a beautiful example where Allah Ta'ala brings that balance, that take the middle path. Dear Krishna. Quranic educational theory has in fact led the way in modeling many educational techniques, belaying the pretensions of the leadership of the so-called modern school of education in the area of development and employment of educational techniques. We see it happening in front of us. We're looking at the modern schools that we have in front of us and the techniques that they are adopting. In essence, those techniques that they have adopted are all techniques that have been taken from the Quran. They look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they have administered those kind of techniques in disseminating their knowledge which they have to give to their learners.
Okay, just one thing. This is what we call the lost legacy. We always say, what are we looking for? This is our lost legacy. It belongs to us. And we're looking for it everywhere else but the Quran, the Sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These techniques, and if those who have gone through some of these educational courses are techniques that they encourage us to utilize. But where did they get it from? We seem to have forgotten that this was the techniques that was implied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam we've come to know about it. I just want to reflect just on the tumor, on the storytelling one. It is so important that we use storytelling, and we say that it doesn't matter if you are 2 or 102. Tell everybody, I'm going to tell you a story. And everybody says something. You're going to a lecture, you're going to a talk. The only thing that will, rather, the most important thing you remember is the story. Ask us anything else in the talk, we've forgotten. But if you tell a story, now there's only one thing about storytelling. We're not good storytellers. We're going to learn the art of storytelling. I'm not a very good storyteller, but I've got to learn the art. So there's something we've got to learn. And then the other one, when I spoke about the comparing one, there's even the parables where you compare. You can compare with so many things. Quran speaks about comparing with wheat, and you give so much to charity, you will be given. And all these things are encouragement. So again, I want you to reflect. These were 5 techniques used. How many of these techniques have you been able to use, and how can you use them effectively? JazakAllah.
If you move on to the techniques, I'm sorry that we're rushing through this, because there's so much more that we want to put forward to you, and we only have today. So that's where we are rushing a little bit, but I hope the message is getting across. Inshallah, this will be put up on the Masjid Ibrahim website and you can access it there, inshallah. The teaching method and methodologies and techniques of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here again, there are so many teaching methodologies that we can find from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has chosen his noble messenger and made him perfect in every respect. The perfection can be seen in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a teacher. As much as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ دَاعِيًا وَمُعَلِّمًا. The hadith also comes that way. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ دَاعِيًا وَمُعَلِّمًا. I have been sent as a da'i also, and the Quran speaks about that. And I have been sent as a mu'allim. As a mu'allim. There is a very beautiful kitab, Sheikh Shabir will mention, of Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Huda, which he has written on Al-Rasul Al-Mu'allim. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teacher. It comes in Arabic also, and it is translated into English as well. The kitab is translated into English, and a very beautiful reading. Alhamdulillah, to the karam of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as was mentioned many a times already, I have worked under the tutorship and I have taught under the tutorship of Sheikh Abbas. And when I started teaching, this was the first book that he gave me to read, Rasul al-Mu'allim. And we have derived a lot of benefit. And there's a few things from there which has been extracted that will be brought in front of you, just to give you a taste, after which you can make an effort, ask Sheikh Shabir or anyone else, to see if they can get the book for you in English. You can purchase it when you have it. Sheikh Shabir does have it. Try and get it and use it. Read through the entire book and you will see how much of benefit you will be able to take. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the full measure of His favor and grace upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and confirmed us in the Quran Kareem by saying, and He has taught you that which you did not know. And ever had the favor of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala upon you being great. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to select the best and most effective methods of teaching, helping the listener to clearly understand and remember the knowledge he taught. You will also notice from the hadith presented here that there is a variety in his teaching methods and styles. It was indeed Allah Ta'ala who had taught him that which he did not know. What are those methods? Combining verbal instruction with practical teaching. And this is so important. In the 10 techniques that we discussed in the Quran Kareem, they also, to an extent, it has been mentioned, and here we are telling the children something and then we do it with them. So we are doing auditory teaching also, and we are doing kinesthetic teaching also. We are teaching in a way, kinesthetic, that we make children do things to learn. We make children do things. One is you tell them about it, and one is you make them do it. If you look at physical science, for example, or chemistry, for example, the teacher gives theory. But the theory is not understood until they do the practicals. The theory is not understood. For example, if they bring something on dilution, then the theory of that is given. But the practical method of how this happens is also done in the classroom by the teacher in the physical science lab or the chemistry lab. So in the same way, why can't we adopt that method as well? Like I said, that though these methods that are being used in the modern world is taken from our Quran and our Hadith. As Uncle Ismail said, it is our lost legacy. We have lost it. We have left it in the Quran and the Hadith, and we have not taken it out from there to utilize. So combining verbal instruction with practical teaching, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most important teaching method. verbal instruction and then the practicality with that. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Sallu, and Nabi has given the instruction, perform salah. But together with that, kama ra'aytumuni usalli, how you see me performing salah. So I'm telling you to do something and I'm doing it myself. See how I do it. See how I do it. In this hadith, the response was a practical demonstration which made things clearer to inquire than his words alone. By doing, the benefit was for the inquirer as well as for others. It is related from Abdullah bin Amr bin As that a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, O Messenger of Allah, how to perform tuhur, that is purification. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for water in a vessel. And he performed ablution and said, if anyone does more or less than this, he has done wrong and transgressed or done wrong. The hadith of Abu Dawud, Sunan Abu Dawud. Again, Sahabi asked a question, how do I do this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not just confine himself to telling him, okay, to perform ablution, you need to get so much of water, you will wash your hands up to your wrist. How many times you will wash your hands up to your wrist? You will gargle your mouth. Water, wash your face after washing the feet. Nabi Islam did not just give the verbal, but he practically asked someone to bring some water. And he showed that Sahabi that here's the water and this is how wudu is made. This is how ablution is performed. And he did the wudu practically. When a person listens to something and he sees it being done, it registers in the heart. It registers, that is why we stress. We stress, especially when it comes to teaching of fiqh, the practical aspect is of utmost importance. When you teach tarikh also, when you teach history also, we can practically demonstrate what is there. We can do a model of something. And through that model, we can teach what that incident was all about. The child will understand what we are trying to get at more if we show him what we are speaking about. Gradual teaching. Taking it, we spoke about this yesterday when we did Quran, developmental, slowly. Not just giving more information overall like what we are doing now, but slowly so that it could be consumed. Gradual teaching was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He observed the order of importance, giving precedence to what was more important. Thus made learning process easier and more effective. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu mentions that the Messenger of Allah sent me to Yemen saying, you will find yourself among a community of people of the book. So first call them to testify that there is no deity of worship besides Allah and that I am the Messenger of Allah. First step. First step. Give them da'wah and invite them to Tawheed. And that you will do till they accept. If they don't accept. If they accept us, then tell them that Allah has enjoined upon them 5 prayers during the day and the night. Don't just go and throw it all one time in it. Tell them, listen here, you must accept Islam, you must accept Iman, you must bring Tawheed. But when you bring Tawheed, now you have to perform Salah, you have to pass the month of Ramadan, if you have to bring Mawduq wa Hajj, information over that person will be switched off. Doors closed. Blocked. Why? Because religion is too difficult. But if we take it step by step, we take it step by step, prioritizing what is most important at this moment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically demonstrates to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu that the most important thing is for them to come and accept Tawheed. You will go there, give them da'wah to Tawheed. Once they have accepted that, then you tell them Allah has enjoined upon them 5 prayers during the day and the night. If they accept this, they have accepted it and prepared to do it, then tell them that Allah has made paying sadaqah obligatory, meaning the zakah obligatory upon them. So gradually, you bring them into deen slowly. The important thing is for them to remain on tawheed, in belief in the oneness of Allah and the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once you get them to do that, then slowly you can start giving the injunctions. You can't just throw it all at them at once. Throw everything at them at once, but slowly. It is mentioned, for example, simple example we will give you. If we take Salatul Witr for example, and in Salatul Witr we need to read Qunut, but sometimes a small child, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but then our children perform Salah at the age of 7. So at the age of 7, sometimes it may be impossible for the child to learn and know the entire Qunut. Some children are brilliant and they learn it, but some children, most children, They don't know the entire Quran. But we want to really study them the habit of salah. And we need to study them the habit of performing. So now, for us salah also, we need to study them the habit of performing. They may not know the entire tashahud, they may not know the rule Ibrahim properly, they may not know the du'a after the rule, whatever it is related to salah. But if we could tell them to don't know all of the don't perform salah, are we helping them? Are we helping them? We are not helping them. So if a child is going to learn to perform the witr of salah, for example, and he does not know the qunut, then we can teach him the very basic. Allahumma khirli, say that. Say that. Till he learns the qunut. Gradually as he learns the qunut, then we can ask him, now you stop that, you recite the qunut. So it is not just to throw everything at him, but to bring it slowly, same with children. Same with our kids. That is why we are saying that don't sit there in the classroom and just do kitab reading. Just read from the kitab. Because the child don't understand anything. But slowly, what we mentioned yesterday, bring them from the known to the unknown. And that is the trick here. And we will discuss it a little bit later as well. The above hadith points out the importance of prioritizing in the fields of da'wah and education. Asking people to perform many religious duties all at once will repulse and chase them away from Islam. Likewise, overloading students will lead to failure. And we hope what we are doing does not lead to failure. You are adults, and because of time constraints, we all have the intention that this was workshop will be a means of benefit for us. Can we just renew that intention, inshallah? Can we renew that intention that this workshop becomes a means of benefit, although it's all information overload, but somewhere along the line, if something clicks, alhamdulillah. Sign up, then giving the details. You teach an entire lesson, and possibly that lesson took you 3 or 4 days to teach, and I hope it is. And I hope that one lesson is not taught in a 20-minute period, and alhamdulillah, we are happy with that. I hope it's taking us time slowly to get through that lesson, teach that lesson slowly over the period of 3 or 4 days, or half an hour periods, or 20-minute periods that we have. What you said on the first day possibly could have slipped the mind of the child. At the end of the entire lesson, read summary of the lesson. And as far as possible, use your best friend. Use your best friend. Write it down there that okay, on the first day this is what we discussed. You don't have to do the whole lesson. Just to summarize, this is what we discussed. Point number one, in point four, point number two, point number three. You make it easy for our learners as well. This technique attracted the listener's attention to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say and raised questions and anticipation in the listener's mind, thus leading to better understanding and learning. Abu Bakr Nafi bin Harith radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I inform you about the greatest of the great sons? He repeated it 3 times. Shall I inform you about the greatest of the great sons? We said yes. O Messenger of Allah, he said, associating partners with Allah, being ungrateful to one's parents. He then set up after declaring himself, uttering falsehood and giving false testimony. Haditha, Bukhari and Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to sum up countable things, then does them. It is reported from Abdullah bin Abbas that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take advantage of 5 before 5. Your youth before serenity. Your health before sickness. Your wealth before poverty. Your leisure before occupation. And your life before death. Summarized in 5 simple words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summarized the entire message that he wanted to give to Sahaba, after which he then expounded upon, and from time to time, expounded upon certain aspects as to what was right to say to them. Moderation in teaching. Abu Wail Shafiq bin Salama said that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhumah used to remind people, give a religious talk every Thursday. Not every day, Shaykh Shabir. Not every day. Shaykh Shabir told me that every day I'm going to do something in my life. Never mind. Allah, 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 Every day you're going to do one subject and you're going to teach from another. So we have different subjects and that brings about the moderation as far as teaching is concerned. Once a man said, Abdullah, you must learn from the Alama, I wish you would remind us every day. Abu Abdul Rahman said, what prevents me from doing that is that I do not want to bore you. I follow a method of preaching similar to that of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who took care not to make us feel bored. And that is why when we discuss something in the classroom, Abu Ismail spoke about this attention span issue. The children have a very limited attention span. So we cannot use the entire 20, 25 minutes on one go, just speaking about one thing. In between, get them to do some activity. Get them to do some activity. Or get them to give you back. You discuss something, you told them about something, get them to give it back to you. Just to give a breather to yourself, also give a breather to them as well. Not just to be the monotony all the time, that they come into the classroom, you're leaving your imprints there, mashallah, and you're just getting on. And the children are just sitting there. No benefit. Get them involved. Using a variety of teaching methods to clarify things, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used hand gestures, drawing, parables, examples, metaphors, true stories of former people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes held the hand on the shoulders of the listeners. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also ordered his companions to learn foreign language, to write things down. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, for example, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in the autumn season, walked with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till they came to their branch, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a branch and shook all the leaves off the branch. And then what did he say to Abu Dharr? Are you not going to ask me why I am doing this? And Abu Dharr said, oh Nabi of Allah, please tell me why you are doing that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave him a good example, practically showed him that just as how the leaves are falling from this branch, when a person performs his salah, his sins fall off from him, just like that. You think if an example like that is given, that person will ever forget what was taught to him? Is it possible for a person to ever forget what was taught to him? So like that, there are so many examples. Sahab bin Sa'ad, As-Sa'idi radiallahu ta'ala said, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I and the person who looks after and often and provides for him will be together in Jannah like those, putting his index and middle finger together. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed, used gesture, that if you look after often, then myself and that person will be like this in Jannah. Will be like this in Jannah. The close, the ulama explained, and we can explain that to our learners also. What does this mean? Either the gap between the two fingers, or the space between the index finger and the middle finger. That's how close we will be Jannah, using gestures. It is related from Zainab ibn Ajash, radiyallahu anha, the mother of the believers, that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to her while he was upset and said, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Woe to the Arabs from an imminent evil. An opening has been made today in the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, which is Gog Magog, like this, and he made a circle with his thumb and his forefinger. Zainab bin Najah said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, will we perish when the righteous are amongst us? Nabi alayhi salam said, yes, when wickedness and immorality are rampant. The point there is, when Nabi alayhi salam described the hole in the wall which Ya'juj and Ma'juj has made, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the hole that they made, he brought his two fingers, his thumb and his index finger together to show that this is what he meant by the hole. So these gestures in the classroom is very important. Gestures in the classroom is very, very important. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used similes, not smiles, similes. But we need to smile also. We need to smile also. And please make that a habit. Don't walk into the classroom. Everybody start reading Quran now. Okay, let's start reading Fiqh now. What are you trying? What are we trying? What are we smile with those learners? Again, if we will learn to smile with our learners will learn to smile with others. They will learn to smile with others. So have a smile. There's one thing, I don't know if you're going to come across somewhere. We all have issues. Sometimes the wife at home also, said something. Sometimes the husband at home also was a bit difficult. They didn't give us enough money to buy something. Now we're having that difficulty at home. Don't ever make that visible in front of your learners. In front of your learners, make everything look like everything is perfect. Alhamdulillah. Be happy. Be happy all the time in front of your learners. When you come to the madrasa, at the doorstep, leave all your grief and sorrows behind. You can pick it up when you walk out again. Sometimes a mukhar muslim is not enough to bring all of them. So it's good some of them stay at home also. But whatever grief and sorrows you can give them, smile at your eye. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used 70s and matter person in teaching. Jabir radiallahu anhu report that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the metaphor of the 5 daily prayers is that of a flowing river at the door of one of you in which he washes 5 times a day. We know the hadith of Muslim Sharif, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives that example in a form of a metaphor every time. The question he asked, what do you think of a person who on his way to work finds 5 rivers, 5 streams in front of him on his way, and every time he comes past one, he takes a bath in order, what will happen to that person? Obviously he will get clean. Nabi alayhi salam says exactly is the example of salah. Exactly is the example of that filth that is in our hearts. And that filth that comes on our, into our hearts when we perform salah, it's washed away, like all the dirt is washed away from the body of the person when he gets into the river. It is related to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the metaphor of someone who knows the Quran by heart is that of the owner of tied camels. If he attends to them, they stay with him. If he let them go, they wander away. That example also, many a time we mentioned of this in our hymns, jalsas, in our hymns gathering, your children have graduated from memorizing the Quran in Kareem. Then we tell them how important it is for them to stay connected to the Quran. The example you've given of the camel, in essence, the message is the importance of staying connected to the Quran, taking care of that which we have memorized. If you're not going to take care of it, you're not going to do muraja'ah, and you're not going to do division all the time, it does not mean now that I have completed the Quran, alhamdulillah. If you have completed it, now you're going to do division all the time. Otherwise, like the camel will run away, your Quran will also run away. Allah Mubarak save us. Scholars of literacy, appreciation agree that metaphors and parables have a great deal in highlighting details and unveiling hidden meanings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned plenty of them in his honorable book, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed the example of the Quran Kareem. Nabi alayhi sallam also used writing as a means of education. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had more than 15 scribes. Do we know them? We know them? See? Some of them wrote down the verses of the Quran. Some were specialized in writing his letters that he sent to various places and to kings, inviting them to Islam. And some were specialized in writing other stuff. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave permission to some of his companions to write down some of his hadith, and even ordered others to write it down. Abdullah bin Amr bin Has, important sometimes to speak to our children. We give a lesson in the classroom. We need to make them write. And that is where it comes, that summary also. Don't just you put it on the board. Let the children write it down. Let them write it down. Tell them that I'm delivering a lesson. Your attention must be on my delivery. But if any important point comes, quickly jot it down somewhere. Quickly write it down somewhere without losing focus on the lesson that is being delivered. And we need to monitor that. We need to monitor that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if I mention something, please write it down. And what a favor was that upon us as a ummah. That if the Sahaba radiallahu anhu kept all that reserve, that today it has reached us. And we have it. And we have it in a very simpler form in the books of ahadith that are available to us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged some of his companions to learn foreign languages. We're very scared to learn a foreign language sometimes. Allah forgive all of us, myself included. But we get very scared when we have to learn, especially in our country, we have 9 national languages. 9, I think, what? 11 national languages. I know none of them besides English and a little bit of Afrikaans. And that's my fault. But really, it is important that we learn foreign languages. Why? So that we could speak to people of different nationalities about Islam, about Deen. Not everybody understands our own language. Not everybody understands what language we speak. Kharida ibn Zayd ibn Thabit reported that his father Zayd ibn Thabit said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered me to learn the Syriac or Arabic language for him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, I do not trust the Jews to translate my letter. Zayd said, so I learned for him in just a fortnight. In just a fortnight. After that, I used to write down whatever letters he wanted to send to the Jews, and I would read for him the letters they sent him. Sometimes we teachers, and I'm telling you this from personal experience, I had a student in the classroom that could not understand English at all. And in South Africa we have a language that was a Zulu, that is a Zulu language, only Zulu. But now the child is in the classroom. I can go to the principal and tell the principal, you know what, I can't teach this child, find someone else to teach it, but the child understands nothing. But I chose not to do that. Allah said, there was another child that also understood Zulu and English. So I told the child, go translate. You translate. And there was a third child who also understood Zulu. So that child was translating my lesson to his friend. And I was happy the work is getting done. And this happened for about 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, the third child came to me and said, well, these 2 days are not translating anything, they're talking their own things. Then we all said, so that is why you need to be up on your game. You need to be up on your game. And therefore, learning a foreign language would be very, very beneficial to us. If we have learners like that in our classroom, let's make some effort. There are examples of people who learn a foreign language in less than a month. Who learn a complete foreign language in less than a month. It's not difficult. It's not. If we put our heart to it, inshallah, we will do it. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used narratives and true stories of former people as a means of education. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man set out to visit a brother of his in another town, and Allah appointed an angel to wait for him on his way. When he came to him, the angel asked, have you done any favor for him? He replied, no, it is only that I love him for the sake of Allah. The angel said, I am a messenger of Allah sent to you to tell you that Allah loves you as you love this man for his sake. Narrative. Find some kind of narrative, depending on the topic that we... You see, yesterday we spoke about lesson preparation. And inshallah there will be a little bit more elaboration as far as the importance of lesson preparation. All this demands lesson preparation. Demands lesson preparation. That I cannot just come into the classroom, open the textbook and start. I need to know what the lesson is all about. And how can I use these kind of techniques to enhance that lesson. Instead of just opening the kitab and what is in the kitab suffice for that, alhamdulillah, I have completed. Why? Because I'm too much in a hurry. I only got 10 months. And then holidays coming between, I need to finish this kitab. But I'm not looking at the greater benefit of the child. It takes, generally, we are told, I just studied a course now on teaching, and I'm just completing the advanced certificate in education. And time and again, when we used to go for lectures, now I don't go for lectures, but when we used to go for lectures, the lecturers used to tell us, teaching is a 24-hour job. I'll say that quietly for your committee members. Teaching is a 24-hour job. It is not just the 2 or 3 hours that you come in the classroom. It's a 24-hour job. You must be prepared for that. And that is why lesson prep is of utmost importance. Otherwise, it's not possible to utilize this technique. Unless we are so brilliant, Allah make us brilliant, that off the cuff, we can just start implementing. Otherwise, lesson prep is very, very important. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used stories to teach Muslims. Storytelling has a positive impact on people who listen to stories with attentive hearts and minds. Storytelling is also a means of guidance. Once upon a time, there were 3 bears. But that's what the truth, that's very clear. So we give 2 stories. Teaching abstract concepts through concrete examples. Jarir ibn Abdullah says, we were sitting with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he looked at the moon on the night of the full moon. He said, you will see your Lord as you see this moon in all clarity and ease. Allah make us one of those people. In Jannah, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will call us on the day of Friday, an entire gathering, and then the veil will be removed and we will see Allah. Nabi alayhi salam uses this moon as an example. Looking at the moon, clear as it is in the sky, 2 things are happening here. The greatness of Allah is being explained to his sahab, and the second thing is, he is giving an abstract example to say that if you love your life the way a lion is also wanted to love you, then you will look at a lion, a grand lion, a might of a lion, a majestic one on the day of the hour, then you can see this. Abstract concepts. In a hadith we can see how the Prophet made use of momentary occurrence. That is the companions looking at the full moon in order to explain to them that for believers to enter Jannah in the year after, seeing Allah will be clear and trouble-free. Teaching by means of dialogue and logical arguments. In teaching his honorable companions, Nabi Ali Islam sometimes used the approach of calculated give and take between speaker and listener to erase a false belief from a person or install a correct one. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu reported that a young man came to Nabi Ali Islam and said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, give you permission to commit fornication, that is sexual intercourse out of wedlock." The companions scolded him and said, "Hush, hush," or what we would say, "I'm in a masjid, Allah forgive me, but what will you say? Shut up. Compare, shh. But Nabi Ali Islam said, "Come close." This was the compassion in the Nabi Muhammad. This was his technique of getting a message across. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have given him one slap. "What you talking? Don't do this haram. Didn't you have the Quran and Wala Taqrabu Zina?" One slap, give it to him. And we don't encourage him. We need to teach with compassion. Come closer. And he came closer and sat down near Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him those questions. "Do you have a mother? Do you have a sister? Do you have an aunt? Would you like it if someone did the same with your mother, your sister, your aunt?" No. In a like way, that woman is going to be someone's sister, someone's mother, someone's aunt. Would they like it if you did with them? That man hated that act of fornication for the rest of his life. Technique is important. The technique, the manner in which we give and we teach our children is very important. Notice how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam uprooted from the young man's mind his attachment to fornication by means of calculated dialogue and logical argument without mentioning to him the Quran verses that forbid fornication and that threatened adulterers. Allah will never give him all that big stories and tell him, "Wala taqrabu zina, innahu kana fahisha." Don't come close to zina. And even that hadith that I did, Luke said something that is wrong, and that amount that talks about it, and the hand that touches something wrong, all that will be in Jahannam. Nothing like that. Why? This young boy is ignorant. You can't give him big stories. Use something, calculated speech, and get your message across to you. Training the learners to improve their deductive skills. Nabi Ali Islam sometimes trained his companion using riddles so as to improve their deductive skills. This reveals the level of intelligence and knowledge, stirring their rationale, thinking, and thereby activated and expanded their faculties. Deductive reasoning should be encouraged using metaphors and similes, help people understand things better. Teaching by analogy, Nabi Ali Islam used this technique when his companion was confused using Islamic rulings. Abdullah bin Abbas reported that a woman from the tribe of Juhayna came to Nabi Ali Islam and said, "My mother made a vow to go on Hajj but did not perform Hajj before she died. Shall I perform Hajj on her behalf?" He said, "Yes." She replied, "Perform Hajj on her behalf. If your mother owed debt, would you not have paid it? Pay Allah debt, for Allah has more right to be paid off." Meaning, if she was paying someone else money, would have paid it off. Hajj was it Allah, Allah has more right to be paid off to perform the Hajj. So giving it an analogy. Through this analogy, Nabi Ali Islam showed them the ruling and made them understand what had never before crossed their minds. These are just a few techniques that we could utilize. Yes, we will be able to access it through the Masjid Ibrahim website, inshallah. Apologies again for rushing through it, but again, you can say I needed 1 hour of time just rushing through it. If we had 3 hours to do this whole thing, then we could have spent 3 hours and that would even be less time. But nevertheless, it is the message that we try to get across and hopefully something will rub off onto us.
I just want to put a popular taking down notes of some of the techniques, not the actual notes, but as you get, for example, summing up the details. We can all do that when we teach any lesson, fiqh or hadith, is some of the most important points. There is some of the techniques. Moderation in teaching. You do not go through everything at one place, you moderate it. The one I want to spend a little bit of time teaching of foreign languages, you want to meet anybody in your classroom, you have a child who comes from another country and doesn't know your language. It is helpful for you to learn a few words of that particular child's language. You will find you will endear the child to you and he or she will want to come to your class very easily. I just want to relate, for example, in South Africa we've got so many languages, but if you say hello to somebody in his language, Okay, Punjabi. You know, you talk to them in those languages, and you greet them. You find that they greet you and respond to you. How is it going in Afrikaans language? Learn this. If you learn, and now you have an opportunity here to learn the Urdu, and to learn the Arabic language, which is foreign languages for us. It is foreign for us. So what stops us from learning those simple words, and you will find it makes your feeling, it's so important. Concepts. You know, when you're teaching concepts, there are so many concepts. Why can't we learn to simplify the concepts? So some of these techniques are beautiful and brilliant techniques. We've done deliberately, there are plenty more. We haven't put all of them on here, but the book is available. If you'd like to, you can go to the Masjid Ibrahim site. You can find out about the cost of the book. I would suggest, maybe not every person, but every institution buys this book. Go through it. And another way of doing this particular book is, one person reads, comes back, and he discusses the technique. The next time, the next person comes in, and she or he discusses the next technique. In that way, we will empower everybody. But Jazakallah and Jazak to all of you for listening in. I think we can go for a short break, and we go in for a break. Will that be ready? Are we ready for the break?
Yeah.
Okay. We can go quickly for a cheap break, and when we come back, inshallah.